Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who comes to us in his word, plants into our hearts that amazing message of the forgiveness of our sin. My dear fellow redeemed, this morning as we think about how this word is planted in our hearts, it's probably natural that you and I kind of just think about what words are. And in the society in which you and I live, I think you and I can safely say that words are everywhere. You and I are bombarded with them. You're constantly getting words. As you're driving down the road, there's words. You got the billboards, you got the road signs. Some of the billboards now are electronic and they change. Sometimes you've got sort of the ticker tape type thing going on. All kinds of things telling you what they think you need to know, or at least what they think you want to know. Constantly bombarded by emails and text messages and Facebook requests and news feeds and all these things that pop up on your phone and all these words and all these things that grab your attention and vie for your attention and want to tell you what's going on. And sadly, a lot of times, as you and I have all of these things bombarding at us, it's words like that. Well, that's better. It's words like that that tend to grab our attention. More the negative things, the things that we maybe don't always want to hear about, maybe the things that bring us down, all the negative things that everybody seems to gather on and focus on. So this morning we want to focus in on not just words, because isn't that what it becomes at times? When you get so much of that and so much of it is coming through, it just becomes words. And you start to pick and choose, and some of the things you don't even open up, and some of the things you don't even read. And if you do, you don't even remember what they are. Does God's word end up like words? Are there times, as you and I think about how this word is planted in our hearts, that they become just words? These are not just words. And as we focus in on our first lesson from Isaiah chapter 55, that is going to be our comfort and our encouragement this morning. As you and I think about that overall idea that the word is planted in us, what a comfort to know that these are not just words. Remember where the word comes from. And then remember why the word comes. Remember where the word comes from. In Isaiah chapter 55, God comes up with this comparison. He has just gotten done in chapters 52 and 53 describing the suffering servant, describing how one is going to be healed, how one is going to be wounded so that you can be healed, one that's going to be stricken, smitten, and afflicted, one who is going to raise so that his family and his descendants could still be known, those who believe in him. By the time you get to Isaiah chapter 55, our Lord and our God is now inviting you to this free gift of forgiveness. This amazing gift that God has given to you and to me because of what that servant Jesus Christ has done for us. You hear about it in the Word. Not just words, the Word. And so he says, just as the rain and the snow come down from the sky, remember where the Word comes from. Same place as the rain and the snow. The sky, up. Are we just talking about warm fronts and cold fronts? Are we just talking about high pressure systems and low pressure systems and how they run into each other and that's what causes the rain to come down? Have we just thought about rain and snow, which oftentimes we take for granted and very often we grumble about, forgetting about where it comes from? It comes from our Creator, and it comes from our Preserver. Our Lord and our God, who didn't just make this world and now he's off doing something else, continues to use this nature that he created and the laws that we have somehow managed to scientifically describe for ourselves, and yet he is the one who continues to come, and he sends that rain, and he sends that snow. It comes from him. Remember where the word comes from. It comes from the same place. It's the same Lord. Remember how he described it when he talked about my word? Just as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, so does my word. God's word. Which means this is not just another set of words vying for our attention. This is not another set of opinions that are screaming to have you listen and buy into them. My word, God says. Not words that you and I are able to reinterpret. Make them fit how you and I feel. Make them fit according to what would make me happy. Make them fit into what I think. Make them fit into the common concept of what the world is going on. These are my words, God says. Remember where the word comes from. These are not just words. But God says, my word. And because it's my word, then you and I also know that these are words that are there, not for us to pick and choose from, not for us to say, well, I like this part, I don't like this part, so I'm going to change this part out, I'm going to add this in so that it makes it fit, and I'm going to take this part out. These are my words that go forth from my mouth, the Lord says. Remember where the word comes from. These are not just words. This is what God says. And as the author of the word, that does not give us the right to change them or ignore them or set them aside. And God means what he says. We can't take what he says and say, well, I know that's what the actual words say, but what he meant was this. Remember where the word comes from. Now, this is important. It's important for you and for me to remember that these are not just words. It's important to remember where the word comes from. And as we go through a couple of these other Bible passages that remind us what God says, this is going to look an awful lot like a confirmation lesson, because it is. Pull it right off lesson two. But as you and I listen to what our word has to say, in addition to what Isaiah reminded us, you might be able to kind of fill in some of those blanks. It's important to remember where the word comes from. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we also thank God continually. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. And so now you're thinking, where does the word come from? And that's what tells us that these are not just words. 2 Peter chapter 1, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Where does the word come from? 1 Corinthians 2, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. Already through his prophet Isaiah, you and I were already learning that the reason that these are not just words is because these are words that come from God. My words, he say, that go forth from my mouth. These other rather familiar passages, many of which you probably memorized at some point along the way, remind us that it is the Spirit of God himself who told these men exactly what he wanted them to write down. The reason these are not just words is because of what that very last line says. We call it verbal inspiration. That amazing miracle that these men didn't just sit down and kind of write out what they remembered. Paul didn't sit down and write down his thoughts and his ideas about life. Peter didn't sit down and write down as best as he could kind of remember some of the things that Jesus had said. God gave the words. The very words. Yes, he used their style, and yes, he used their abilities, and yes, he used the time in which they lived, but God gave the words, the exact words, that he wanted them to write down, so that's why you and I know that these are not just words. Remember where these words come from. If this isn't verbally inspired, if this isn't God's word, then they are just words. If this is not God's word, then it's just like any other thing that you and I come across, any other history book, any other folklore, any other fairy tales, any other nationalized history that you and I may come across. And then we could set it aside, and then we could ignore it like we do much of everything else that we read. That's why this is so important. To be reminded that the word that's planted in us is not just words. Not just one of many bombarding our eyes and our senses. Remember where the word comes from. And when you remember where the word comes from, then you also can remember why the word comes. So if you go back to the comparison, our Lord and our God in Isaiah 55 had said, just as the rain and the snow come down from heaven. Why? Why does it come down? Just to annoy us? Just to keep us from going to the lake? Just to give us something to shovel? Why does it come down? There's a purpose. The reason the rain and the snow come down is so that it can water the earth, so that the earth can produce, grow, give birth to the plants, so that there can be a harvest. Again, so much of that you and I may tend to take for granted because we're less of an agrarian society than we used to be. Perhaps we sometimes forget just how much we have to depend on our Creator and on our Preserver. The reason that you and I are able to eat this year is because the rain and the snow came down last year. You and I are confident that we'll get to eat again next year because the rain and the snow come down this year. And it doesn't go back, you know, we know the whole system. You remember learning it in science, the rain and the snow come down and they water the earth and finally they make it into the ground table and they make it to the rivers and the oceans and then it evaporates back up into the clouds and then it comes back down in rain. We know all that scientific stuff, but don't forget who set it up and don't forget who makes it work. And it doesn't do that until it's done what God sent it to do. That's why you and I can live. For now there is bread for the eater. As you and I harvest that crop and rejoice in what God has provided for us, now there's something for us to eat. And seed. There's enough of it so that there's something to plant so that you can do it again next year. That's why the rain and the snow come down. So just as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and water the earth so it sprouts and grows, so is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return empty. Sometimes the rain comes down so hard that maybe some of it gets wasted. Maybe sometimes there isn't that much snow because we're living in this groaning world that we heard about in our second lesson. God's word always does its purpose. It never returns empty. It's never a waste of time. It always accomplishes what God sent it to do. We don't always see it at the moment. We don't always understand it at the moment, but we do know that it's because it's God's word. Remember, these are not just words. And we remember why it comes. It comes to fulfill the purpose for which He sent it. Why does He send His word? So that you can believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. He sent His word so that you and I could have faith planted into our hearts, so that you could know about the forgiveness of sins, so that you can know who your servant is, the Lord Jesus Christ who lived and died and rose for you. This is the only tool that does that. The only tool that gives you faith, the only tool that tells you about salvation, the only one that's going to keep that faith going. Which means the other thing that the word sometimes does, as Isaiah often learned firsthand, is for those who want something different, for those who do not want the word, who want it to be just like all the rest of the words that we can pick and choose from, then it becomes judgment. Then it becomes warning. For these words are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. If in unbelief that is rejected, then there is no life, there is no Savior, there is no hope. Only judgment because of our sin. This is important too. We need to know. And I'm sure you remember why the word was sent. As you go back into your memory banks, you remember that our Lord and our God has laid out in His Word two basic teachings that remind us of why the Word comes. And as you remember why the Word comes, you think about that one teaching that we call His law. There was a young man that came up to Jesus. That's Matthew chapter 19. Came up to Him and said, "Good teacher, what must I do to be saved?" Here's Jesus' answer. "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." If you remember the rest of that account, that young man said, "Well, I did that." You notice where Jesus went? He didn't start with commandments 1, 2, and 3. He went to commandments 4 through 10. The commandments that you and I, like this young man, at times convince ourselves we're pretty good at. After all, I haven't killed anybody. I'm still married. I haven't taken anything, at least not anything big. False testimony, maybe I held my tongue. Honor father and mother, pretty good, as much as they deserved it. Love your neighbor as yourself. But as you go through that, and as Jesus then finally said, how about putting God first? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And as soon as I remember that I'm not putting God first, then all of a sudden I begin to notice that, well, okay, maybe I haven't actually murdered anybody, but have I hit someone? Have I hurt them? Have I hurt myself? Have I done something that hurt my own life or the life of somebody else? Do not commit adultery. I might still be married. Maybe I'm not married yet. But what kind of movies have I been looking at? What kind of thoughts have been running through my minds? What kind of sites have I been going to on the internet? And maybe nobody knows. Don't steal. Oh, maybe I haven't actually taken anything, but maybe I clocked out of work early. Maybe I clocked in late. Maybe I didn't report everything. Like one tax preparer once asked somebody, how rich do you need to be before you become honest? It's just a little bit. Nobody even notice. Honor your father and your mother. That one we know that we don't do. If we don't love God first, we're certainly not going to love the ones that He puts in authority over us, and we will rebel. You go through that and you listen to why that word comes and you hear God's law, you and I are reminded that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God says, here's where you need to be. This is the standard. This is what I expect. You got your two fancy words up there, just a reminder that there are sins where we omitted what we were supposed to do. God said, I want you doing this, and we didn't. And then, of course, we committed some of the things that we were not supposed to do. Don't go there. Don't do this. Don't think that way. But we did anyway. All have sinned. All don't measure up. All fall short. And because of that, once that law now condemns my sin, it condemns me. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. How much do we got to do? I mean, speed limit, right? There's some wiggle room there. And I know the sign says 70, but you can do at least 74. Right? I proved it. Set your cruise control, 74. The highway patrolman stays sitting in that little turnaround on the freeway. He doesn't go after you. So is there some wiggle room here? Is there some of this leeway where God says, well, you know, here's your general guideline and, you know, give or take a little. Cursed is everyone who doesn't continue to do everything. That can't be done. The wages of sin is death. Not only am I under a curse, I deserve to die. Then He will say to those on His left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Remember why the word comes. These are not just words. This is not just some old archaic law system that is holding us back. Remember why the word comes. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Remember why the word comes. You got to know the law. You need to know that we are cursed under sin, that we're condemned to die, and we're worthy of hell, because then this means something. If I don't know that I am completely lost on my own and that there's no way that I'm going to fix this, then I cannot appreciate what God did to fix it for me. Remember why the word comes. Jesus has come. The gospel is that good news to proclaim that your sin has been taken away. All of that guilt, all of that curse, all that damnation, sin is removed. You know that one. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Because your sin is removed, you have life. Now and in heaven. That's why we're here. That's why the word is planted. Remember why the word comes, and then remember these are not just words. Not just some words to be thrown into the grand mix of ideas and philosophy. Remember where these words come from, the mouth of God himself. Remember why the word comes. God's love letter to you, to tell you that you have sins removed. You have eternal life. You get to live for him. Now you will be living with him forever in the glories of heaven. And you're very used to that idea of hearing that this word is boiled down to those two basic teachings of law and gospel that tell me that sin is condemned, therefore I'm condemned. But God condemned his Son in my place. Now I no longer stand condemned because of my sin. But now I stand righteous and innocent in God's sight because faith has been planted into my heart that grabs onto everything Jesus did for me. And I am his child. And I am his heir. And I'm going to be with him. Remember why the word comes. Now this is important too. Because if this is not why the word is there, if the word is just simply another way to kind of help you get through life, another way, another self-help book to kind of help you feel happy, and not God's message of sin and what he did about it, well, then it's just words. Then it's just another idea, much like all the things that are in the magazines in the checkout aisle at the supermarket that are screaming the latest and the greatest fad for losing weight or saving money. These are not just words. With all the things that are screaming at us, with all the words that come our way, some of them we got to pay attention to, some we just sort of tune out. But with all those words, remember that this is not just words. This word is God's word. Remember where it comes from. God's message to you. And remember why it comes. God wants you to know you're forgiven. He wants you to know you're his child. And just as the rain and the snow come down and do what it says it's going to do, so now you can rejoice that the word does the same thing. The proclamation of that word is not going to waste its time on your heart. It's not just going to bounce off and go away. But it will do what God says he wants it to do. And that's the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. Amen.